You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
That's me, baby. Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Hope you had a pleasant intermission and smoked them if you had them. It is Act Two on a Wednesday night here at Nightlight. Heather Arndt is my guest. She is in studio. We're talking to her about some films she's done. We'll be back with Heather in just a moment. Coming up at 7:20, Jeremy Carrasco will be here. He is an AI expert and a content creator, and he lives right here in Green Bay. So we thought, let's bring Jeremy in, talk a little AI. I certainly want to ask him his thoughts about AI affecting actors and actresses in Hollywood. We'll get into that as well. And I'm going to ask him how we can look for scams, too, because AI is getting better and better. But there are some tricks, because I watched one of his videos earlier, and we'll talk to Jeremy about that at 7:20. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Donut Day, it is, I'm not saying it's the greatest invention of America, the donut, but you could argue that it's one of the,
It's up there. That's for sure. Probably next to the telephone.
The Industrial Revolution maybe did some good things, but the donut, the greatest invention ever to come of the kneading process. How many donuts do you think you can eat in one sitting? That is tonight's question of the night. I say, if I just don't think about it, I could do a whole box of Dunkers from Quick Trip. And Krispy Kreme, I could, we were talking about that a few minutes ago.
You could do two boxes.
I don't know about two boxes, but I know I could go for, if they were right, like hot off the, whatever you call that thing at Krispy Kreme. Have you ever been to a Krispy Kreme?
I've never been there, but I've had them. They're so good.
You just, they when they come out of the, whatever it is, and they melt in your mouth, I could eat 10 of those easy, and I would probably have to check out for the rest of the day and probably get sick. I know I could do it. I say 10 of those.
They don't fill you up, you know? It's air.
They fill you up deceptively because you eat them and it's like, oh, that was no big deal. And then they like expand and you feel like a drug mule with donuts inside you probably. I just want to go on record and say I've never brought drugs across the border. I've never had a balloon inside me.
I'm starting to question it. Another office reference right there.
Yes, that is an office reference. Oscar. And a future question of the night. Have you ever brought drugs across the border?
I don't know. I don't know how
you have
that...
to think about it, Con.
He doesn't know. He was too young to remember.
Yeah, exactly, you let me know. I also talked about Kim Kardashian's TV show that is getting a zero, nothing, nil, nada. Not one good review for All's Fair, where she plays an attorney. It's been called the worst TV show of all time. Are you a Kardashian fan?
No.
Yeah, me either.
I didn't even know she had a TV show.
She has a TV show. And Naomi Watts is in it. Like, there's a good cast. But I think it was her idea. And Ryan Murphy is a big-time executive producer. He's got a lot of hit shows on. He's behind it, too. So somehow she got people to buy into this, and it's really getting trashed. So anyway, now you definitely got to check it out.
Yeah, and isn't she supposed to be a lawyer or something? She's going to school or
she went
something like
to,
that?
Yeah, she went to law school. I don't know where. Or if it was online or like...
It's based on a true story, right?
What, the show? All's Fair?
Yeah, Kim going to, law school. And...
Right. Well, the promo picture is her showing major cleavage in like a courtroom. And I'm like, what? Like, you're
I'm going to take you seriously.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, whatever. I get a lot of mileage out of Kim Kardashian on this show. Or in the Kardashians
We should really get her on the show.
Damn it.
She's definitely coming. I know it.
Take a memo. It's been a while. Let's get her. I bet she'd be a really fun guest, actually. But the jury is out as to whether or not she has a sense of humor about herself. Our texts have come in. Sydney says, where are you, Dave? Tell us your number. Sydney said 8 donuts. Lil Irv, that's also Dave, says, I get heartburn from donuts, but I can eat a box of Glazers if challenged.
Oh.
Leaving the door open for a challenge. He says, but, and then Sydney says, all right, not bad, as long as we're in front of Joe. Just kidding. I don't get that. But do you get that, Heather?
I didn't get that.
I don't get that either. And neither did Lil Irv. He says, who's Joe? Sid, first commentator in the chat this evening. He beat us both with commenting. Oh, I think I missed some. Con, I missed some stream comments.
Yeah, they had a conversation, you know.
Well, I can't be part of it because the monitor just went off. So let's get back to our guest, Heather Arndt, local actress, doing some great things, winning awards, part of all kinds of cool projects. So you're telling me about a project you're doing during the break. Tell us about that.
What was I telling you about?
Political movie.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what were we even talking
about? You have donuts on the mind.
Yeah, exactly. I know. How many can I eat? I wasn't done.
You were like, I undersold myself. I know I could do three.
I could do more than that. Well, you know, if you're talking Glazers, of course we can.
Yeah.
We can all, you know, I'm going to bring them in next time, actually.
Please do.
We're going to see.
All right, book her next week. She's coming back.
No, but I do have a political film that I am a news anchor. I'm portraying a news anchor in it. And that one's going to be shooting in Milwaukee as well. So actually, they are looking for extras. So if people are aspiring actors or, you know, new actors or people that are just kind of like
producers. I'm actually an aspiring extra. I've been in some movies and had lines. It's just not for me.
You'd rather be an extra?
Just hit the craft services table occasionally and be in the background. Is that terrible?
You know, I'd like to, producers can be actors as well. You know.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Keep them in mind.
So, well, hey, if you want to, I actually shared the post. So you're connected with
Facebook?
Me. Yeah, on Facebook.
Okay. Awesome.
So if you want to be an extra, you can just send a message to Adam Smith. It's listed on there, and there's an email on there that you can send.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So get your guys in there.
Be an extra. It's something fun to do, I think. At least try it once, because it is kind of fun. You get to see how the process happens.
And if you haven't been on a movie set, or you haven't been in a movie, or you're just like, hey, what's this all about? You know, you're not going to have any lines. Don't freak out. It's fun to do.
Yeah, it's pretty low, low intensity.
Yeah.
How do you get booked? Because, you know, it seems like, and I've had a lot of filmmakers on the show here from Wisconsin, be it Southern Wisconsin or here in Northeast Wisconsin. And I understand how you get connected with those roles, but is it hard to get noticed for other stuff like beyond the state? Or are you fine just working roles whenever you can and keeping your life simple?
I mean, you know, honestly, if you're looking for, are you talking just film work or are you talking about other work?
Well, I guess film comes to mind because it's temporary, you know, and I know you have a business and you've got kids and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, in parts beyond as well.
I mean, I think, well, for instance, when we worked on the Amro Heist, we were working with a crew out of Canada.
Okay.
So it's kind of one of these things where you just keep making connections from people in different areas and they work with you. And I think a lot of the film industry, and I mean, I think a lot of industries in general, it's networking and who you know and working with them and being connected and XYZ. So the more people you know and you get yourself out there, you know, I didn't do a lot of film work when my kids were little.
Yeah.
I did some commercial work here and there, but I didn't really get into film work until they got older. So it wasn't until the last couple of years. And so, you know, you can go on some platforms like Backstage sometimes has opportunities for actors. You can sign up to be on Backstage, and a lot of film opportunities are on there.
Okay.
Facebook, there's groups like that where you can get connected, and that'll help you in this general area. But there's opportunities the same way in other areas, but it's a little more challenging if you're not from that area. Can you travel out there? That type of thing.
That's interesting you said that. So you have your own agency, and I know you did that for a while. You seem like you're focusing more on acting right now, which is great too, but you're like the perfect person to ask this question. You just said, if you want to be an extra, I know there are people in the area everywhere that are interested in acting, but they might say, oh, how do I do this? I don't have an agent. Where do I go? What do I do? What would you tell them?
So you don't have to, especially if you want to be an extra in a film, you don't have to have an agent. I would, you know, join some of these Facebook groups where like they have actors in Wisconsin. If you just start if you start putting in that search chat engine, actors, Wisconsin, you're going to find stuff. Same thing of, you know, if you're looking in North Carolina or Ohio or Indiana, they all have groups. Join those groups. And if you're from this area, people are always looking for extras. So, and that's a great way to get yourself in your foot in the door, getting used to, hey, what's this like being on camera? What's the whole setup? But also you can join, you know, like I said, Backstage is a platform for actors where you can sign up, and there'll be opportunities for filmmakers. But if you're not someone that's has any experience, you might want to try some of the Facebook groups first. Okay. And, you know, they have film meetup groups here in Green Bay, in Milwaukee. Oh, okay. Attend some of those as well.
Yeah.
Just network and get your name out there and say, hey, I'm interested. You know, I have a guy that's, I think he's out of the Milwaukee area, and he pretty much just does all extra work. And that's just what he wants to do. And in Chicago, too, I mean, you can be extras on some of those, like, Chicago Meds and some, yeah, things like that. So just getting yourself out there.
You know, I had a Chicago PD audition.
You did?
About a year and a half ago.
Was it an extra, principal, co-star? What was
it? No, it was like there was like five or six lines. I played the dad of a guy who gets killed or does something. I don't know. And I thought I crushed it.
Yeah.
Not even a callback, Heather. Mm-hmm. I had the Chicago accent. That's where I come from. That's my hometown.
Really? Okay.
So I had the Chicago, hey, you know, I'm a parking garage attendant. You know, I had to act, I crushed it. Nothing. What do I do? Do I march away? Do I throw my hat down? What would you do if you were me?
No, I mean, I get it, because it's so, like, devastating when you're like, I did such a great job, and you put all this time and effort into
it. Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at the other side of it, there are so many factors going into, like, who they're choosing to cast, because sometimes they have great options and they could easily have cast you, but sometimes it comes down to, okay, who are their main actors? And now you look too close.
Yeah.
You look too much like that person. We are not going to cast you. Or the other person that they're going to, sometimes when they're casting families, well, we actually really want this kid, so now you're not going to fit as that parent. So,
right.
It's, don't take it personally, because it's really never about you.
Don't take it personally, and don't get your hopes up, because I remember I auditioned for Third Rock, a walk-on role years ago. Casting director says, yeah, great, you're in. They wrote the part out of the show before I could film it. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, that's just stuff that happens. Or you do it and they cut it out. I cut my mother-in-law out of a film. And then I had to sit across from her at Thanksgiving. That was a little awkward. I just told her, look, you don't have the chops. I don't know what to tell you.
It's hard. It's hard because, you know, you film all this stuff and then you wait to see. I know I had filmed a movie once and they did so much footage. And then in the end, it was like the majority of that stuff got cut, you know? And it was like... Okay.
Did you have to shoot all that?
And there was one project, where I shot a movie, and I mean, I get stabbed in it. It's this whole shebang. In the end, they cut out that whole stabbing, the whole scene, all that.
Oh, so, what a bummer! Especially a scene like that, which is so cool, where you get killed.
I know. I guess they just decided, like, nah, I guess we don't need that.
Oh, that's awful.
I know.
Hey, this was fun. We'll have to do this again and not wait as long next time.
Yes.
But we're on, we'll keep in touch. And then also, what are you watching? Like, you're busy, you got kids, you're acting. When you go home at night, what are you binge watching?
Oh, gosh.
I know you said you're reading, and that's great, but I'm not impressed. We got about 30 seconds. What are you watching?
I mean, honestly, I don't really watch a lot of streaming because I'm just so busy with other things, and I'll go to Netflix and I'll start looking for stuff. But what I do like is like true crime. I did watch that True Haunting or whatever that's on Netflix. Okay. Have you seen that or heard about that?
Uh-uh.
It's like a real life story of hauntings.
Okay.
And there's two different stories that are told in that. I didn't watch a second one because after the first one, I'm like, that's enough haunting for now. But I do love like real life stuff like that. 48 hours.
Keep
all that.
Working those triceps. And the next time you come in here, we're going to arm wrestle. We'll do that. All right.
Gosh.
Heather Arndt, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming up. We're coming right back with Jeremy Carrasco for some AI talk. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwab. I am Pete Schwab, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Con, let's not miss those texts. I have no monitor here. So somebody texted in on the stream. I think we missed a text from Joe. Do you want to read that one?
That was the first first comment.
But he said something after that, didn't he?
I don't see that.
All right. I'm gonna go to the text line. Jim from Appleton says, Krispy Kreme, half a dozen, Quick Trip, maybe three. Simple Simon Bakery, Bavarian creams all day long. Oh, man, I would pay to see that, Jim. Angie from Monroe says, you can only eat one. They're about the size of three donuts. I think she's talking about the
apple fritter.
Yeah, the apple fritter in Madison. I've heard that. I've heard that place is fantastic. Thank you, Angie. Melissa from Willie Street in the 608 says, hi, Pete. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with donuts, don't we all? When I was in grade school, I was in a bowling league that met on Saturday mornings. They fed us Long Johns and Orange Crush. God, it's like child abuse. It killed my love for donuts for a long time, just recently dipping my toe back into the donut pool. I added the donut part. Maybe one is all I can do, but ask me about pistachios, and that's my go-to for the gluttony. One time I had a handful of pistachios, and the mood just caught me right, and it was like the best, it tasted like the best meal I've ever had. A handful of pistachios. I'm so with you, Melissa. And I can't believe you went pistachio on me. That's fantastic. We'll get to more of your texts. Keep them coming, folks. How many donuts do you think you could eat in one sitting? Okay, we are going to pivot here, and I'm going to welcome my next guest, who is here in the studio at Nightlight for the first time. He's a content creator and influencer and has lots to say about the subject of AI, all the way from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Jeremy Carrasco. Hey, buddy.
What a wonderful place to be joining you. Incredible. In town, local interviews is incredible.
Did you hit traffic coming over?
You know what? There's something going on down here. I don't know what it is. So technically, no, but okay. It took me a whole 2 minutes to find parking.
Oh, you did a lot better than Heather. She had to Uber it from four blocks away or something. And
we both live in Chicago. We know how it is.
The parking's terrible.
You find a way to do it.
That's right. Hey, it's great to have you here. I'm happy to meet you. And I know we also have DePaul University in our past. You were probably there much later than I was.
A little bit.
How was your experience at DePaul?
It was great. I mean, I met so many of my lifelong friends there, met my future wife there, my current wife, then obviously.
You met your current wife and your future wife
no,
there?
No, just the current one. No, that would be wild. No, it was great. Met a lot of great friends there. I went to the sound recording department there.
So,
it was a music school experience, got interested in production and video. I still use a lot of those skills today. I'm one of the few people who's using any of my recording technology skills. Most of them.
Really?
To do. Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. So tell us a little bit about what you do. I think, I was coming up with questions today, and the thing I thought, well, I'm just going to watch his videos and get a sense of what you do. But tell people about yourself and what it is you do in regard to AI.
I call myself an AI literacy creator, but I really talk about AI video, what it looks like, how to spot it, how to understand its context in the media world. And I think by now everyone has seen an AI video online at some point. And if you haven't, you probably did and you didn't know it at
right.
this point. So, I was working here in Green Bay as a live streaming and media professional for the past 5 years, have a long history of media production. Like I said, used to be a music guy, went into video, went into recording, did a bunch of things all around the audiovisual and not really TV so much, but more like film and audiovisual related things. So got into the AI video thing partially because I just saw that there was a lack of education about it and I knew I was able to talk to people about it. So it's just kind of worked out that way. But I've only been creating now for 5 months. So it's been a very, very quick thing. I've been learning about myself as I've been making it.
So you're creating content about AI and instructing people about AI and how to become more savvy and spot it and what to look out for, that kind of stuff?
That's right. Yeah. And I should say that I don't work in the AI industry. I don't represent that side. I really think of myself as a media outsider who came into this. And, a lot of the media industry has been very disrupted by AI. A lot of people have been having a hard time figuring out how to react to it as it's just moved so quickly. So even though I come from, a non-AI background, I come from a technical enough background where my goal is to entertain people and show people how to just deal with this new technology. And I'm not teaching people how to use it because there are plenty of channels for that. And you have to, frankly, kind of sell out to go all in. Mm. There are so many people who are doing it or are getting sponsorships from the AI companies. So I'm definitely not a pro AI guy. I'm much more of an AI skeptic.
Wow, that's interesting. I would think, like, the stuff you do is going to blow up because so many people don't have a clue. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of people probably don't care, but I do. I want to know, you know, what's happening. Like, and I know with the strike, I'm part of the SAG and the Writers Guild, and I want to know this stuff. All right, we're going to get into all this. We're going to do the news. We have a quick phone. Is it Ollie from the Northwoods?
It is.
How many donuts do you think you can eat in one sitting, Jeremy?
Three without having a bad time.
Okay. Because I have a feeling I know what Ollie's going to talk about. Let's bring Ollie on and see what Ollie has to say tonight. Hello, Ollie.
Hi. Well, Ollie's not going to say she can eat a bunch of them.
I believe you could, though.
No. Crispy, the ones from Quick Trip, I can eat two, and sometimes I think, oh, that looks so good, I'll just have one more. But after the first bite, then that's it. I'm done.
What, one
but I
bite?
I have to tell you that I...
We have about 30 seconds, Ollie, just to let you know.
I know a person who has been known to go to the bakery and buy two dozen donuts and on the way home eat a whole dozen donuts.
That is
and
wrong.
She weighs 125 pounds.
Is that all she eats for the year, are those 12 donuts?
No. And isn't that a fright? To
it's
think
horrible.
That little person can eat a dozen donuts.
I love it. Ollie, we got to run. We're up against the news. But thank you so much for checking in. And
right,
I will be
bye-bye.
Dreaming of 12 donuts. Thank you, Ollie. We're coming right back with Jeremy Carrasco. After the news, it's Peach Wabba and Nightlight. Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. We are plowing through a Wednesday night edition of the show. And joining me here right now is Jeremy Carrasco. He is a Green Bay native, or Green Bay resident, I should say. And his job is in AI. He's not in AI. He's a content creator, and he teaches people how to deal with AI. And I find it fascinating. Jeremy, so... what should people, in your opinion, I'm pretty much a layman. I know about Tilly Norwood. Do you know about Tilly Norwood, the AI actress?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay,
I do know
so
about her.
I have questions about that, but what should regular people who don't have to deal with AI on a regular basis right now, what should they look out for when it comes to AI? What amount of knowledge should regular people have about the subject, in your opinion?
I think really when it comes down to it, you know, If you don't feel like you've caught up, that's okay. Everyone always feels like they're behind. Everyone always feels like they're catching up. So that's the first thing I want to say is it's normal, and that's how I feel all the time. And I'm covering it every day, and it's just always moving so quickly. So what I would say is that, you know, having a little bit of knowledge about just like what's happening in the industry, just like larger trends is good. You know, a lot of the tech companies would like you to think that everything changes all the time, but there are some trends. So for example, you know, AI videos are popular enough to go relatively viral on social media now. So really the thing I would say is that thing that used to, you know, tick off in your brain of like, wow, that's really unbelievable. Now that might be because it's an AI video, whereas before it might've been something truly incredible. Or an example I'll give is, you know, sometimes there will be AI videos like this where it's like a baby who's about to stick a fork in an outlet or something. And there's someone filming this baby sticking a fork in the outlet. Then the puppy goes to save the baby, right? And the comments will just be people being like, why didn't you put the phone down to help the baby? But in my head, I'm just thinking, well, that must be an AI video,
right?
Because what human wouldn't go put down the phone to help the baby? You know, so it's just, it's retuning that part of your brain that, you know, a lot of the AI videos are really made for, you know, to go viral because they're just a little bit too crazy to be true or a little bit too good to be true. And then, you know, the other side of it is just, you know, being aware that there are AI, there's plenty of AI text out there. There's plenty of AI photos out there. It's just generally a little bit more skepticism is a healthy thing to have right now, but definitely don't, I don't expect everyone to be as hawkish on it as me. I mean, that's my job, but you know, it's it, just getting by day to day is a little bit harder than it used to be. If you're trying to find any sort of like quote unquote truth on the internet, it's much harder to come by now.
Right. What is the motivation of people that make, let's say, AI real? Obviously, everybody wants clicks. Everybody wants to sell advertising. Is that what is motivating AI content creators? I mean, because oftentimes, and we can talk about how to spot, you know, if it's AI or not, because a lot of people don't seem to know. They repost stuff. And I'm like, I don't think you know what you're reposting.
Yeah.
But how would, what should people look out for?
Well, you know, the first thing is that it is, just remember that like engagement is what most platforms are built on. So I can talk about that as, really since TikTok entered the picture, every platform is trying to copy TikTok's engagement model more or less, which is to say that, you know, following or subscribing to people is less common than it used to be. This is why you don't see your friends on your Facebook page as much as you once did, is because a lot of it is just based on what you're watching. And even if you don't hit the like button on a video, or it's Facebook still knows that you watched it and that you liked it, you know. So the thing that AI videos are really good at is taking advantage of the way that these platforms track engagement now. And so, you know, you can think back to when clickbait used to be a big problem. Some people might remember that of, you know, maybe on YouTube or Facebook, there would be a thumbnail that would be really intriguing and you click on it and the video would be totally different. Well, in a way, that's what AI videos and AI photos do to us, is they make you stop thinking like, ah, what's going on here? And by the time you really figure it out, you've already registered your engagement on the platform, you know, because it doesn't go on likes anymore. So I hear a lot of people saying, well, I'm not liking them, so why am I seeing so much? And that's why.
So when you say clickbait, I thought that was still a thing. Like oftentimes I'll see a reel or something on Facebook and I'll, and it looks intriguing.
Yeah.
Here's a perfect example. This Wisconsin town is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't tell you. They want you to click. I get that. Then they want you to click in the first comment and then they want you to scroll down. Is it all about keeping people there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really maddening.
The other really maddening thing that people talk about, and you can actually do counting on this if you're interested. Next time you see one of those videos that is, they're obviously pushing off the payoff. So for example, it might be a rocket that needs to pick off, that is about to launch, right? They might put that rocket launch 10 seconds into the video to make you wait the 10 seconds because the 10 second view duration is what registers a view.
Yeah.
You know? So there are all these ways. And the thing about AI is, even if you know what you're looking at, like I do, it still takes a few seconds for me to figure out if I'm watching an AI video or not, you know? So the AI videos are really engaging on our current social media, and that's why people are seeing them a lot.
So we clipped a little from one of your YouTube videos, about 50 seconds, and our stream is down. Con, can we play it in the stream?
No.
Okay.
But I have the audio.
The audio is that's still great. Interesting. It's how to spot if something is AI.
Sure.
You'll recognize this, but let's play that.
I'm next to an AI person so we can compare and see what's wrong with him. Don't pay too much attention to me. The AI's skin is smooth, like it's wearing a ton of makeup. There are details resembling pores, but they don't stay in the same spot on his skin as his face moves. The skin looks like leather. The subtleties are gone and the texture is off. Now, let's look at the hair, which has some shape and strands, but it looks very thick, almost like it's animal fur. It's coarse and fuzzy looking. And the teeth are straighter than mine, which is not much of an accomplishment, but they change width and shapes as he talks, and the spacing between them shifts around. Okay, that's enough staring at me. Let's appreciate that for a second. I called that a superpower for a reason. Your subconscious can pick out all that detail that I had to zoom in on to demonstrate.
Let's talk about
that.
Man,
that sounds like an old video, but I don't think it is. I think that is in a YouTube video. It's just, it's so funny because I released these videos 3 months ago and so much has already changed.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, all those tips are still decent,
but it changes that fast.
I mean, they're improving all the time. They're just improving all the time.
Well, it's new to us.
Yeah.
So I want to, my guest is Jeremy Carrasco. He is an AI, you call yourself an AI expert?
Creator.
You're much
AI educator.
Okay.
I don't try to go by expert.
We'll say expert. Compared to me, you're an expert. But it's great to have you here in the studio. And I want to ask you, what should, you know, you talk about in one of your videos, all the fingers, you can tell something kind of looks real, and then two people hug and all of a sudden there's seven fingers. And what else can people look for other than what we just heard to tell us something's fake or AI?
The thing that I would say is if you're concerned, I would actually seek out AI videos and see what works for you and see what you pick up on, because everyone's different. You know, for some people, it is the audio and it is the lower quality audio, or the most recent trend is some of the newest AI models. The people talk really, really fast. And so it might be something, for example, where you're watching someone just like talking to another person on the camera, but they're talking almost like an influencer or an announcer. Okay. That's because the AI video, you know, models don't quite know like why we talk to people the way they do. So some people are really thrown off by the audio and how people talk. Other people will feel like an uncanny sense. Like I describe it as, it feels like I'm looking at ghosts. It's like they're almost people, but like something's a little bit off. And this comes down to the fact that, you know, for the longest time, the only way we ever captured human-like or lifelike video was with a camera sensor or film or something that collected real light in a room and bounced into a sensor and was filmed somehow. And of course, there was animation. But, you know, besides that, this is the first time where a human-like presence can be kind of simulated in a way that's completely a different process. So it's just... The reality is that process is different, and different people will be able to see that in their own way. So it's hard to give just like one easy tip. There aren't, you know, simple tips anymore. But the thing that I would say is the best way to figure it out is just try to step back and use some common sense. You know, these aren't, because they're not actually people filming cameras. You know, you might have instances where, you know, the camera position just doesn't make sense. It'd be like, who is filming this? Like, why are they filming this?
Yeah.
You know, and again, it does require a little bit of you stepping back and asking questions, which, I mean, frankly, a lot of people aren't doing while they're on social media. That's part of the problem.
I mean, you just kind of lose yourself in the phone and whatever it tells you. That's what you're, you know. You say that you teach people to cope with AI. You also, in one of the videos I saw, you have AI red flags, and they're in three categories: anatomy, technical, and situational. You kind of just described anatomy. We talked about the multiple fingers or shoulders meshing together or whatever it is. And you just kind of talked about technical a little bit. What's the situational aspect of that?
Yeah, the situational is the video's purpose and, you know, what it's there to make you feel, what it's there to get you to do. So a lot of videos are just there to get you to engage and to like or to share with friends or to leave an angry comment when the person doesn't put down the phone to help the AI baby. But a lot of them can be eventually to sell you something or can be a scam. And those are the ones to really look out for. And, you know, the wonderful thing about AI is it can make people do things that normal people would feel shame about. And an AI person can't feel shame, right? So it's used to, you know, simulate people that are just supposed to get an angry comment out of you. Maybe a person who is reacting, you know, in a very unusual way that might make you angry and you might comment. And that might be for a political gain. For example, you know, I've seen videos of fake Trump supporters wearing MAGA hats with no teeth complaining about, you know, their healthcare going away. And I've seen, you know, more left-leaning people, you know, complaining about things. You know, it's like playing off of stereotypes, right? And its entire goal is just to make you angry at that person.
Rile people up and divide them, exactly.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's interesting. What is... Okay, so we were talking a little bit during the break. This Tilly Norwood, she's an influencer. She is an influencer. Mm-hmm. She's an AI creation. They said she was going to have an agency in Hollywood represent her. It's so strange that we're talking about something that is AI. So what is it? I equated kind of to animation. They're not real people. Like, what are they? How? Where will they be categorized?
I mean, first of all, just to set the record straight, Tilly Norwood has not been in any movies or succeeded in any way. I think the true industry plant is Tilly Norwood. Like, we don't know if this is going to succeed. And, you know, in my opinion, it probably won't, because most people, when they watch a Hollywood movie, want to know about the actors and actresses. And there's, you know, there's a whole mystique around it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, having said that, you know, eventually, I don't know, probably AI actors might be a thing someday, but like, well, let's just pump the brakes on Tilly Norwood until it succeeds, because I don't think many people are going to go to the Tilly Norwood movie.
Like, it'll be like Pixar. Maybe. If you want to watch a movie with AI actor, I don't think there's really a demand for that unless they can do something that's crazy or.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, and there's, I've done a video or two about this. If you're an AI creator, let's say someone who's making AI, and you have a scene and you got three people in the scene, and on the left, you want someone to say one thing, and on the right, you want them to say another thing. The AI will frequently make the person in the middle say both of those things. Mm. It can't track who's supposed to say what. And it's worth mentioning that there are other types of AI models that are maybe a little bit, more tuned to what are called AI avatar models that are a little bit more lifelike human focused, whereas a lot of AI video models are, they can make dogs video or cat videos or skateboard videos, so it just depends on what the situation is.
Fascinating stuff. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about some of the comments I read under AI stuff to crack me up.
Oh, man, I'm ready.
Jeremy Carrasco is here. We're talking AI. It's Peach Wabbit and Nightlight. We're coming right back. All right, just
you're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Peach Wabbit. This is Nightlight. I love when people get romantic about the question of the night. John from Madison in the 608 says, "When I was a younger man, I could eat endless donuts. All the donuts. My brother was sure that I had a tapeworm because I ate too much of everything, but I never get fat. I could down 20 donuts, no problem." That is really impressive stuff, John. There's nothing a woman likes more than a guy who can plow the donuts. Great stuff, John. Oh, I got to read a text from John last night, Con. He sent this in right as we left. It was this beautiful text. John last night from the 608 said, "Great guest, great show. Peter, you keep me coming back every night. Thanks, brother, sincerely." And then he says, "You got skills, man." Thank you, John, for the nice compliments. I almost forgot to read those until I saw your text pop up tonight. John also says, "When I was in high school playing football, I would eat 5 pork chops and 3 Bakers." I don't even know what that is. "Now I can only afford to eat them one at a time. How times have changed." Changed. I think you know what he's going for there. Steve, Conrad's dad, says, "Back in the day, it was no problem to eat a baker's dozen, 13 of us." And you said one, Conrad.
Should I be ashamed?
I'm going to talk to Steve about this. He says, "Long John's cake donuts, Bavarian cream glazed. Nowadays, just a 6-pack. Raspberry filled donuts are my favorite. Seeing you have to make sure you eat plenty of fruits per day." I'm glad your dad is getting his nutritional intake.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, excellent. If it counts that much with.
It's what Homer says. He says purple. Purple is a fruit. And then we've got some text that from the stream. Dave says Greenbush is awesome, and Joe can't handle the attention. They were wondering where Joe was tonight, so. We'll get that figured out. All right. Tomorrow night, also on the show, folks, we've got another great one. Matt Miller will be here talking movies, and local comedian, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Trevor Klumpner will be here to make the popcorn pick of the week, where we give you a movie suggestion of something you can't miss. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with my current guest, and I think we need to talk about this more, Con, because I find this such an education. Like I told you, Jeremy, during the break, I love talking to people that know so much about something, especially something I don't know about. Yeah. I find that fascinating. Jeremy Carrasco is my guest. He is he coaches people and teaches them how to cope with AI. I think that's a great way to explain what you do. I love to read the comments, and I'll do it when I see like an airplane landing on a beach, and people go, "How do those people survive that?" I'm like, "Are you kidding?" Or you see this beautiful woman, and I'll go, "That's got to be AI." I'll click on it, and it is. But some of the guys are, "That's a woman I could really settle down with." I'm like, "No, you can't."
Well, good catch on your part.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of it is obvious.
Yeah.
But so I'm probably maybe a little more savvy than the average guy, yeah. But they're still, they could fool me if they wanted to. What are the dangers? Like, what can happen from a social media standpoint when it comes to AI? And then let's talk a little bit about the good it can do.
Oh, I don't want to freak people out too much, the concern that I have, because a lot of people are just like, oh, who cares, right?
Right.
Who cares if the cat video is AI or if it's real? Well, the problem, y'all, is that the cat videos, are just the start. It's just the slippery slope. I know there's a slippery slope fallacy. I don't want to get in too much into it. Anyway, I'll get to it. The problem here is that when you combine AI video with all the other capabilities of other types of AI, so for example, people use the word agentic AI, which is really just an AI that can behave on its own. It doesn't need human guidance. Well, if you match up an AI video with an AI agent that can act on itself, and you multiply that by, I don't know, a million or 500 million accounts, all of a sudden we could have a lot of fake people out there. And, you know, I talk a lot about what I think the lines that I want to draw, like what is acceptable or what is not. And I think that the major line I would draw is I'm really against fake AI people, because I think that, you know, as people, we should really protect our likenesses and make sure that we trust that we are talking to real people on the other end of it. Because if we don't, you know, society can really break down. If you don't believe that you are engaging with other people, how can you run a functioning democracy? Like, it can go really that far. I don't think we're there yet. I think that there's, you know, a lot of the story still to be written. So I don't talk about that too much because it can sound scary, but that's a big part of it. And then there's also just the risk of being scammed. I mean, you know, people can make AI videos of fake products and sell you a fake product. That's a good example.
Yeah. Great answer. So is this something that, I mean, as polarized as we are right now, and the answer might be no, because if people can find a way to use AI to their advantage, that's probably what they're going to do. But could you see political parties or somebody coming together and go, we have to regulate this somehow?
Yeah, I think that the governance of AI is a whole conversation. I'm starting to become affiliated with some groups that talk a little bit more about this. I'm curious about the governance side of it.
Yeah,
I think that as a public, as a community, we have a lot of opportunity to build public norms around it. And that's really what I'm focused on right now.
Well, good for you, man. Keep up the great work. This is just so fascinating to me. Let's just really freak people out
here.
Last question.
Okay, I'm ready.
Like in the Terminator.
Yeah.
You know, could AI take over the world? Doesn't somebody always have to be running AI? Or can AI get so smart it will boot humans out completely?
Yeah, people are worried about that. There are entire nonprofits dedicated just to stopping that scenario. I think that AI would be more likely to take over when it like pleases you, more Matrix style, rather than trying to take over by force. Because really the power that it could have is, you know, just making us okay with kind of leaving the comforts of our world to a more comfortable AI future, right? But I don't think it's particularly likely
Let's be honest. It's already taken over.
It's already started.
Faces are on our phones all the time.
Exactly.
It's just not so overt, I suppose. Jeremy, this is fun. Thank you. We're going to have to do this again when
of course.
You spend a little more time. I love what you do. Keep up the great work, and we'll do it again.
This was fun. Thank you.
All right. That's Green Bay resident and DePaul University grad, Jeremy Carrasco. I'd like to also thank Heather Arndt for being here tonight. Great time catching up with Heather and all of your texts and calls. Thank you, folks. It's been fun donut talk tonight. We're coming back tomorrow night with a new question and new guests. And on behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin. Well, I know you try the best you can. Need to breathe in more of that second hand. Smoke flying, I was tired of fighting fate. Time to douse those flames. I learned that.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.